That go again? Where it sings, you, oh Lord, I'm a man, you are my spirit, you are my heart, desire, and I long to worship you. Let's sing one more time. You, oh Lord, are my strength, my help. You, oh Lord, are my spirit, you are my heart, desire, and I long to worship you. Amen, amen, amen. I'll ask Brother Ben Aqua to lead us in prayer for open the service.
Let's bow down our heads. Precious Father, Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we want to thank you, Lord. We are the privileged few, Lord Jesus Christ. We depend on you, Lord, this morning. We are committing this service into your hand, Lord Jesus. We pray that you open our mind of understanding, Lord. Let your spirit take control of the service this morning, Lord, that we may go out here rejoicing that you have spoken to us, Father Jesus. Father, touch the teacher this morning, Lord. Let your inspiration go through him, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for everything, Lord. We ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. All right, good morning. You may be seated for a little. So today we are going to start the sixth redemptive name, which is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. But before we get there, I just wanted to take some time to just recap last time, and I'll read. You know, the subject of the Lord Shepherd is so great, I just couldn't pass on some of the thing. And today I want to read the cowboy meditation, the poem that Brother Branham read. And you can see really how God placed it. And you can see how God revealed himself in simplicity. And many times go over our head what Brother Branham is saying. As a coming on I was coming here, I was telling my, you know, talking with my son. Many times, bro, the message is God speaking to us. He's the gathering of the flock. And we hear the shepherd voice, right? And many times we are into, I want to hear this message. Sometimes it's for different purposes. Sometimes it could be, I want to check, I've listened to a message today. All right? It could also be I'm studying. It could be I want to hear Brother Bram say, right? But many times God is throwing many, many things in it. And when it strikes us, like I was telling myself, when it strikes you, pause. The whole thing is not to just take in a message, say, I've listened to the message, the seventh or whatever. God sends something like a thunderbolt. It hits you, you stop, you pause, take that. And like I said, anything that the prophet said is magnifying the written word. God sent a prophet to make the written word a spoken word, to make it a living document. It was just dead, but may not make a living. However, I know, as you're thinking, in the message, what happened then, many times we also, Brother Brown, God should Brother Brown first, don't go to the right, don't go to the left, stay in the middle. But in the many times in the message, many times we've gone to the right extreme. Some like that, some begin to call Brother Branham Jesus Christ, almost ruined his ministry. Some say he's God. Amen? So, when people take it like that, for them, that is it. All what Brother Branham said, the message, true. But you got to understand that message is magnified something else. If I take a magnifying glass, I can only read what I'm magnifying, right? So if, let's say, I have eye problem and I have to magnify, I take the magnifier has to go against something. But imagine if I move the magnifier here, I see nothing. But I can see how the magnifier say, oh, I'm seeing, and keep rejoicing, but I'm seeing nothing. The only way I can see it is bring the magnifier back. So many times we held up this magnifier, which is Brother Brown message, and we went and rejoiced and be fanatic. But after a while, after 40 years, you look at, but what am I seeing? I don't see anything. Or you see, you read Brother Brown and say, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. This is out of order. He's a false prophet. Why? Because the script that you're supposed to be looking at, you are not looking at. Maybe sometime the devil can fly something. So if I have the magnifier like this, I may see things in the room. I can see you. I can see that picture. I can see a bird flying. I can see anything. And at times the devil can fly something to your magnifier, look at it and say, wait a minute. That's not right. He's a false prophet. He is not, because you have to bring it back to this. The written word that you're supposed to magnify, say, whoa. Because the Bible says in Malachi 4, he will bring what? The heart of the children back to the heart of the father. But when we have it here, and so what I'm going to say is that we've gone all that, and then we become fanatic in a different way and different things, and what happened? We lose track. So we need to come back to the message, okay? So now, we are all happy today. We have a lot of scripture that we're going to read, but like I said, I want to do a quick recap of last time, and I want to recap the carbon meditation. Now, you can turn that off for now, so that we are not there yet. Aren't you happy today to know that we have no creed but Christ? Amen. Amen. We have no law but love. Amen. As Brother Branham said, we have no other book but the Bible. Amen. Amen. Christ. So in this school that we are here today, Christ is a headmaster. He's a superintendent. And the book is our code, our guiding principle, or whatever we call the Bible. Is our guiding principles. You know, when you go to school, they say this is our policies. That's what we do. We do the Bible is our guiding principle, and love. And then I say, okay, this is a code of conduct. You should dress this. You should do this. You should do that. Never talk back to your professor, your teacher. Right? Love is our code of conduct. Aren't you happy? That we serve such a living God. Amen. So, last time, quickly I read something. Brother Branham said, one of the startling things in closing, I might say, many things I've heard, I've learned in studying of sheep. And what Branham was talking about, a shepherd, I won't read so I get them. A shepherd, when he saw, he has different goats and different things. And Brother Branham said, well, maybe a shepherd, because you have the word sheep, maybe just a herder. And Brother Branham said, but go to wait at evening time. That's when the sheep will hear the voice of the shepherd. They are the only one that goes in. Goats are separated from sheep. So, and last time, like I said, Lord put on my heart the carbon meditation coming. I read this probably the last time I read it, might have been 10 years ago. But then yesterday I was reading with the family. I went to do another search where Brother Branham, in fact, brought it back again in question and answer, and he said separating the sheep from the goat. So I thought I'm going to read that to you quickly this morning. So the cowboy meditation, Brother Branham was saying, if you look here, now this is the bridge between the seven seal, the bridge, okay? And Brother Branham here was talking, now look the way he put things. Brother Branham was talking about Daniel. The paragraph just before that, Daniel said the judgment was set and the books were open, and 10,000 times 10,000 of 1,000 ministered to him, king and queen. And then another book was opened, which was the book of life. That's for the church. And the queen and the king stood there. And Brother Branham didn't say nothing else. He didn't ever announce what he was going to say. And he said, as the cowboy's meditation said. So you see, now you're following. Now, we're in Sunday school, right? I just want to share a little bit. Now you're following Brother Branham. Okay, and that's how people begin to say, this guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Is he a false prophet? This is a prophet of sorts talking about Daniel, king, learn book of life. And he didn't ever say anything, nothing at all. But remember, it was God directing him that way. So he can reveal himself to whosoever he wants. All of a sudden, he just drops somewhere there, as the cowboy meditation said, somebody read it, they say, wait a minute, what is he talking about? People are used to theology. You're talking about book of learning. You got to keep your subject. Then you talk about cowboy meditation. All right? Last night, as I lay on the prairie, I gazed to the stars in the sky. And I wonder if ever a cowboy could drift to that sweet by and by. There's a road to that bright, happy region. But it's dim there, a trail, so they say. But the broad one that leads to perdition is posted and blazed all the way. They speak of another great owner. And Brother Branham paused. Listen, look what he's saying here. Brother Branham said, he's speaking in terms of his cattle life. If you was ever in a roundup, you could see it plain. And he stopped, move on. Now, you few key words that God is throwing at us through the prophet, if you ever were in a roundup, you could see it plain and then move on. It didn't explain nothing else. They speak of another great owner. He comes back again. And he's never overstocked. So they say he'll always make room for a sinner that will drift on that straight, narrow way. They say he will never forsake you. And he knows every action and look. For safety, we'd better get branded. Have our name on his great tally book. For they say there will be a great roundup when cowboys like doggies will stand to be marked by the riders of judgment. And then Brother Branham, parenthesis, he said, them prophet and seers. See how he's putting the seed? And then move on, doesn't say anything. All right? That's posted and knows every brand. And then he goes on. Now remember, the prophet was being, when he was preaching, he said that the Great Commission, God was guiding him. He was preaching everything, putting all the seed in there. Okay? And then Brother Branham stopped and come here. He said, if you wherever in a roundup, see a boss stand out there and riders milling in that herd of cattle. So all these things, somebody will just, if you don't know, for you, you look at your brain, we're going to pause, you're just waiting. Brother Brown, come back to the book of life. Come back to where you were, right? But he come back and speak in terms of cattle. Okay? He will see his own brand go by and he will motion to the boss. The boss will see it and give him a nod. His pony runs out in around this milling, cropping bunch of horns like that and cut his own cows out. And they stop there and come back again to the poem. They say there will be a great roundup again. And cowboys like doggie will stand. He repeated again almost what he said on the boy. He repeated back again. In case we didn't catch it. That will be marked by the riders of judgment that's posted and knows every brand. So he said, I guess I will be a stray yearling, just a man that's condemned to die. And then Brother Branham go in parenthesis, not that the poem, unbranded. They usually make soup out of him. Stop and keep moving. That will be caught in the bunch with the rusties when the boss of those riders come by. And Brother Brown say, see who it is? the boss of the riders, that's the lamb, to the seven messengers who's posted and knows every brand. And then I realized the second time Brother Branham said this thing again, he come back and make a mention, at the end of the seal, question and answer, somebody asked the question, I see question 16, what happened to the born-again believers who are in a various denomination but not in the bride of Christ? What happens to them? And here, I'll skip here. So Brother Branham said, you can read it, I won't have time to read it. He said, he came with his saints, 10,000 times thousands ministered to him, his wife. Then judgment was set, and then the sheep was separated from the goats. And then look what Brother Branham said. Remember the other night, me bringing that little meditation? So you understand. The cowboy meditation. See, there you are. Amen. You see, so also when you listen to that message, something strike you, pause, pray, go to the Bible, begin to check, look, begin to analyze every term that Brian is talking about. Random, this one, cattle, Brian. Wait a minute, why Brother Branham throwing all this together is for the sheep. Amen? So, we are going to move on to bring that thing on, please. So today, let us rise and read our scripture. Now, this is one of the topics that, when you get into, it's really hard to get out of. Like you see the shepherd, we can't get out, but we have to move. It's Jehovah Sikenu. And by now, that first one to the right, you remember we're in here, the first one right, we are reading from right to left. The first one to the right, you already know what that means. Okay, so let's go to Jeremiah. 23. All right, now, my subject we're focusing on 6, but let me read from the beginning. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. And if you remember last time when you talked about shepherd, you see, it's come back again to shepherd. Here we are going to talk about righteousness. If you remember when we talked about shepherd, I told you that the shepherd can also have, okay, the Hebrew call it shadow. A word have a shadow. That's I found out yesterday. They have the primary and then the shadow of the word. The shadow, if you remember, we saw that last time, it could also mean something bad. The shepherd, you see here, all right? Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, that saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, you see, all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall there be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute the judgment and justice in the earth. And we all know who that branch is. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. But in the Hebrew, is the name, that name, Jehovah Sikenu. Let's move to the, yeah, so you may be sitting. Next slide, please. Now, so the other scripture is Jeremiah 33. Now, but for you to really get the gist of what is here, you really will have to go back, begin. It may be sometimes like look like painful reading, but you may need to read Jeremiah 31, 32, and 33. You see, Israel wasn't sin. They've done all what, you know, being bad and do all kind of things against God. There's no righteousness in that. You see, what's righteousness? There's no righteousness in that. But let me read 33, 16. Like I said, take time in your studies to read 31, 32, 33. You get the gist of what I'm about to say here. So let me read 33, 16. Okay? And he says here, all right, you see they've done all the evil thing, but the Lord begin to come in and restore. And he say here, in those days, and at that time, I will cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved and Jerusalem be dwell safely. And this is the name whereby she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. You see here over there, he say he, and then here he say she shall be called. All right? So probably you might be talking about some husband and a spouse, Jerusalem. Right? He said Jerusalem shall dwell in safety. And we all know Brother Bram told us who is the new Jerusalem. Amen? So when you're reading the Bible, begin to look at your promises, and sometimes your promises is veiled in those little nuances that you don't see. And that's why people think maybe the Bible is really nothing, but it's all to you. You are in there. When God makes the promise, it's there. You see, it's his righteousness. It's not yours. But you shall be, he's giving you that righteousness. You accept it. All right, so here, that's Jeremiah 23. I would like to show you here where it comes from. In the Hebrew over there, you see it's only two words. But you see in our language, how many words? One, two, three. One, two, three, four, five, right? To say two things that say in the Hebrew. All right, let's go to the next. So that's Jeremiah 23, 16. 23, 6. Let's go back. It's 23, 6. That's Jeremiah 23:6. That's what we read first, Jeremiah 23:6.
No, this one is 23:6.
Can somebody read Jeremiah 23:6 for me? In 33, what does he say? That's how what you guys took. You see, that's what I say, pay attention to those little nuances. In 33, what is here? She. You see, that's what I say when you're reading the Bible. You see, those little nuances, myself, I have to tell the truth. When I became Christian reading, I never paid any attention to those things. When I begin to read begin to learn Hebrew, then I begin to understand more Brown messages. I realize that there's nothing true at random. All right? But when you're reading, you see, I'm glad that we saw this, that I'm really happy my wife brought this up. Because I know that many nobody will really see that nuance, that in one place say he and one say she. So, thank you for bringing that up. I'm going to bring that up, but I forgot. So you see, pay that little nuance. All right? You can read, what I mean, no, it's the same thing. But go back again and read very well. She shall be called. Over there, he say, he shall be called. And here, he say, she shall be called. You see it? So that's why you see someone broke. have the lapel. You see, sometimes, that's why I told you, I get excited when I see little things like that. And that's how Brother Branham also, many times, he's preaching something. He like, he's in this, his world, where God is showing me those little things. Little here, little there. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. When you see that, you get excited. You are somebody. And it's not your righteousness. It's, you see, he tell you in 23, he shall be called. And here he say, she shall be called. So it's not your righteousness. Amen? All right, let's move on. So, next slide, please. Next slide. Oh, our technician has abandoned me, look like. Oh, I see. Okay, sorry. You were there. You were hidden by the door. I didn't see you. I'm sorry. Okay, so righteous. Righteous in Hebrew means tzaddik. Tzaddik. So I wanted to just share some interesting Hebrew insight with you. You see, the rabbi, you all wonder, how come, you know, the Jews, they're so, hold on, they're so, you know, no matter when they went throughout all this, they hold on. There, thank God, the alphabet, the language, everything really tied them to God. And that's why, you see, Paul was telling you, if the original branch was called, you were grafted in. So don't say you are somebody. Don't think that you are something. You are grafted in. That those were blinded. Even their own alphabet is tied to their God. They know it. That you and I, we didn't. We were saved by grace. It was a gift that was given us. Them is like God said, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do that, I'll do that. If you do this. But you, he said, here come the master. He died for you. I'm giving you a gift. Do you accept it? But look at them, servant. If you do this, I won't do this. If you do that on the nation, I do. If you do that, right? But the bride, Christ come, my blood. And that's why when you sing, the angel will never know what you are singing about. Amen? They'll say, what are they? Because you are redeemed. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. All right, so here. The word sade is a very interesting word. Myself, I didn't know a whole lot before I really begin to study the Hebrew. Sade is the 18th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And if you know the, and I know Brother Joy Martin also spoke about it here, the Jew, for them, 18 is life. Okay, 18 is life. That's why they always, you remember Brother George Martin was saying here, in Israel, they always want to board the bus number 18 and so forth. And when they give gift, they all want to give gift in 18. It comes from the word high, okay? So it's the 18th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, that word sadi have two forms. If let's say I'm writing a word in beginning or in the middle, I'll use this form. But if I come to the end of a word, I use this form. Man, when I was studying, I said, man, this thing is so, you know, when we look at the Bible and we think that the Bible is just, some sort of people see it's just a bunch of fable and things like that, it's because they don't know. And like I said, that's why, you see, for them, they can see all those, right? There are certain letters that say only people like Abraham can use in those days, or the high priest and different things. But you and I, we don't have that. God has to have a way for bringing you and I in. If I didn't study Hebrew, I don't know that. Not everybody studied Hebrew. God just allowed me just to know so I can share with you. No more than that. Amen? But God has to have a way. So he has to come by a gift. You don't work for a gift. Even though I know sometimes our kids hold, I'll mow the grass for you, you give me a gift. All right, that's not really a gift. It's recompense. Okay? All right? So it has to come by a gift to you. And a gift can only be as precious as how much you accept it. If I give you a gift that you throw on the floor here, that means that gift to you is not precious. And you cannot accept a gift halfway. If I give you a gift, you cannot say, you know, well, I think I'll take this part here and I don't like that part. That's a gift anymore. A gift has to be wholly accepted, appreciated, loved. Amen? Then it becomes a gift. And that's why Brother Branham told the story of that guy who was jailed, who was supposed to be killed. And his friend ran to Abraham Lincoln and told him, listen, my friend, he was afraid and he didn't mean it. And Abraham Lincoln wrote with a note when he went, the guy said, don't mock me, I'm about to die. And he was shot. And Brother Branham said that the thing was tried in a federal court, and they said that a pardon is not a pardon if it's not accepted. Amen? So, here I'm going to go. The form study is come at the end. You always use at the end. So if I'm writing a word at the beginning, you see here I'm writing this word at the beginning, sadik. I'll use that if I'm in the middle. But when I come to the end, I can only use this form. Now, the word sadik comes from a root. I'll show you. I won't go too deep. Which means to capture. Okay? Now, the sadi, if you look well, when I said I was looking, it looks like someone who's kneeling or bowed down either in surrender as a capture or in humility. When you go to war and you're captured, you just look down, you raise your flag. I don't care how strong you were. When we begin to hit the Second World War, the Germans, no matter how strong they were, when they begin to raise that flag. I don't care how much pride they had, I don't care whatever. They have to humble themselves. Right? Okay. Now, when one has been captured, he has surrendered and he's humble. Hence, the basic meaning of the letter is humility. Now, remember, the first time when Brother Branham was about to preach the seven seals, what does he preach first? God revealed in simplicity. That's where you start from God. Brother Branham said, when you raise your head, that's over. And what did Jesus said? Whoever wants to be the master, you may be, right? The way up is down. So God himself, his righteousness, starts with humility. Amen? Now, this form, the tzaddik form, okay, also form the word tzaddik, which means righteousness. So if you put righteousness, honesty, uprightness, pious, and correct. So the tzaddik is a symbol of righteousness and humility. There cannot be righteousness without humility. Amen? Okay. All right. True right can exist only in God and is an integral part of him. No other being can have an essence so pure that is without deficiency and cannot become further perfected. Only in God we have that, the true right. Now, the tzaddik, the final form, is said to denote a righteous person in the world to come as opposed to the righteous person in the present world who is continually on his knees. So if you remember, when I start, I write that. When I'm in the middle, I write that. But when I come to the end of every word, I use the one like who look like somebody standing praising. All right? So, but in heaven, he will be upright as we stand in the very presence of God. When I read that, I'm like, so we're going to come. Oh, we didn't. Yeah, sure, go ahead. I'm sorry. All right? Sometimes I get into this thing, I always forget. All right? So you see, when we stand, the Bible says when we stand in his presence, we will shine his righteousness. So when I saw that, I'm like, wait a minute. Even everything that was written, God gave us all these signs to show us. Now, this morning when we're coming, my son has he was playing Desperation. And Brother Branham was saying something in Desperation. If God, the Son of Man who came in flesh, will constantly, fervently be praying, what about you and I? So When it flowed, I caught that and we went right back to what I said I was going to say this morning. The righteous person that you and we are is not our righteousness. It's his. But what should we be doing? Continually praying. You see, those little symbols. Amen? For them, so much, okay? Continually praying. And what did Jesus say? Men ought to always pray. And Jesus himself, if you read that, say, as his habit, I don't know if that's the exact word the Bible used, as his habit, he went into a desert place to do what? To pray. He wondered, that's God. He's righteous. There's no sin in him. There's nothing bad in him. Why would he go to pray? Pray for what? Is he asking for forgiveness? What is he asking for? But it's for you and I. When he went to Gethsemane, he was on his knees praying. And as even the sweat turned to blood. So that's why at the time of the gathering of the flock, we need to revise or review or check our prayer life. It's part of it. Yesterday when I was reading this the morning, I started reading, studying this. It was just so much. I got off first, went, and at night I came back. I said, wait a minute. You have to be on your knees constantly. And that's what the Bible said. And this morning is like for God to tell me, you need to emphasize that. At first, my son was playing a music, and then he switched it to a message, and he got right there, Brother Bram said, if the Son of Man, if God himself has to come, be constant, I'm paraphrasing, okay, has to be constantly, fervently praying, and Brother Bram repeated twice, what about you and I? Then he really registered. The righteousness is his righteousness, but we have to continuously be praying. What's the next? I think that's the last, right? Okay. Thank you. We are almost at the end of this part here. Amen? So, the righteousness, like I said, is not your righteousness. It's the righteousness of God. Now, let me quickly, for the next 5 minutes, as I was thinking, I was praying, meditating, I will be talking about something about billboard. But I never tied to righteousness. So on Tuesday, I was writing, as I was in my commute car, I was writing. And the Lord was put on my heart, a billboard cannot speak on itself. Many times when you pass by a billboard, it says, available to advertisement. Advertise here. That's where we are. Who do we want to advertise here? When somebody say, I don't go to, I don't know, so he's available for advertisement. Who do you want to be advertised? All right? You can also let the devil. Because on the board there, it says, available, advertise here. And Brother Brown mentioned about God billboards. Amen? Now, the billboard by itself is meant to entice and attract either buyers. It could be that they put a new iPhone 10 and Samsung will bring his Note 5 to compete and see who is the best or whatever. So the billboard is as good as how much design and message is put on it. Like Brother Branham saw on that little board a thinking man filter on that cigar, and God told him, go back, take it. He said, me take a cigarette box. God said, go back, take it. Amen? So, the billboard that you go, and last time I was talking about a truck, something that passed you, and it make the 3D. It looks so real. You have that steak. And I remember when my wife and I, we used to travel, sometimes we say, woo, I feel like I want to buy that. It's so attractive. You feel like it's real. That you can, so juicy, that juicy steak that you can grab it and bite it. Right? So that's also like a moving billboard. that moving billboard, just like you and I, we are moving billboard. So you have stationary ones, and you have moving billboards. The billboard is as good as the design put into it, the 3D word message. So, but a billboard by itself is nothing. So you and I, we are nothing. We are as good as how much we let Christ come in, the designer. He's a master designer. Now, if you let the devil come in and let him, that's also how much evil or whatever you're going to be. You just displaying and letting the devil say, here I am. If you let him say, okay, cut your hair this way. Let your hair this way. Pierce your ear, put this ring. Do that. That's a design how much you're letting the devil design you, right? But if you let God come in, the holiness of God come in, that bring his righteousness. Amen? Like tell the brothers, don't wear short, don't do this, cut your hair a certain way. Tell the sisters, wear your skirt, don't wear the tight dresses and all that. You just as good as how much Christ can come and live in. So it's not your righteousness. So each time you think about righteousness, think about a billboard thing I was giving you. A billboard can do nothing. So if it's standing there, if nobody ever comes and puts something on there, it means nothing. It will always be there, available for advertise here. So if you're coming to church every Sunday and you don't commit yourself to Christ, you are just like that billboard. And sometimes there are some cars that I also say can be used to advertise, like taxis. You see on the top, they say advertise here. That's moving. So you are just like a moving billboard. So if you come to church, you hear the message, you hear everything, and you never really give your life to Christ, what you're saying, available, advertise here. But you know what? God is not going to come fight, I want to advertise here. But there's somebody who wants to fight, advertise there, the devil. He's looking for all the empty billboards. He's looking for all those ones who don't know where they belong. He's looking for all those who don't know their promises. He's looking for all those who don't know that God died for them. And that's why you see, he took Jesus and said, look, all this world, they all belong to me. I'll give them to you if you serve me. So when you're there, you're an empty people advertised here. The devil can come and advertise to you. See, oh, I can great thing. You can be a great guy. You will be a great singer in the world. You make millions of dollars. Same thing. Because you never make that commitment to serve him. And the devil comes and say, I want to. Because you all tell me advertise here. And usually when they say advertise here, you can pay. So they say, oh, don't worry. I'll give you everything. What do you want? You want a nice car? I'll give you a nice car. You want a beautiful home? I'll give you a beautiful home. Then worship that home. Just worship that car as much as you can. Just do that. You are fine. And like I said, the designer, whatever design he put in you, that's how much work. Yourself, you can do nothing. And that's why if you remember, spirits, remember now, spirits come over you. And those spirits, they are the one who makes you move that way. So the same way, if you let the Holy Spirit of God come in you, it's not your righteousness. When you fail, it's not you. Amen? You see that what you read? He shall be called. Is his righteousness. And when God came and told them that, it's not that they were doing anything good. They were doing a bad thing. And yet God said, he shall be called. Our righteousness. So it's not your righteousness, but it's the righteousness of Christ, and we got that righteousness because he died on the cross. And that blood, when the blood was shed, it purged you. And when you come in the bride, and the second time, she shall be called our righteousness. You remember, Brother Bram said, the bride bear the name of the husband. You'll be called no more. Over there, he will call his righteousness. But here, you call Mrs. Jesus. She shall be called our righteousness. You will be called our righteousness, not because of anything that you do, not because you pray, not because, and Brother Bram said in one message, I won't be able to read, it's not Jesus' end. It's Jesus only, period. Amen? It's nothing that I've done. It's Jesus only, period. Amen. It's through his blood. Amen? Amen. So let us pray out of time. We are going to continue next time. Do you enjoy it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Father, for giving us another day to praise and glorify your name. We love you. We love you for all the promises that you gave us to show us that you are with us, the great shepherd, our friend, our companion, our everything. Lord, we thank you. And this morning we pray that may you help us in this end time, when the flock is being gathered, we pray that may you help us to hear the voice of the Master. We are your sheep, Lord. And Lord, we know by ourselves we have no righteousness save the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Only the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we get through the blood that was shed on the cross. And we accept it only by faith. Lord, may your Holy Spirit come in us and advertise God in us. Lord, may the world see your love so much in us. May the world see your righteousness. May the world see the love of God, the life of Christ in us so much that they will want to be like us, that they will want to be your children, that they want to be like Christians. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord. Father, we commit all to your hands. We pray that may bless the service, bless the oncoming service, and bless the young men's meeting later on today. We commit all to your hands. Bless each one of us and give us grace to live for you, to please you. We ask it in Jesus Christ.